What I'd like for you to do is turn your Bibles to Exodus 19, Exodus chapter 19. And what we're going to look at here is we're going to look at the law contract that Israel entered themselves into, foolishly entered themselves into. And they should not have done it. Of course, they should have fell on God's Jehovahness and his grace. He proved Israel, and that's what he said he did unto them. He proved them. And what he did was show them that they were no better than those Egyptians that they came out of Egypt under. They were no better than the other nations, but the only thing that separated them was their faith and trust in their God, their being of Abraham's seed and of the 12 tribes, which is Jacob. And that's the only thing that separated them from what Paul called that middle wall of partition, which God set bounds between Israel and the other nations there. Well, let's take a look at that. Exodus, let's look at, as we read a little bit of this last week, but let's take a look at it again, a few other verses here. Very significant verses. Let's take a look at Exodus 19. Let's look at verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. And one thing I want you to notice is verse 3 when it says, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and says, Tell the children of Israel. When you're looking at how, when God uses the word Jacob when describing the nation, he talks about that in their iniquity, in their iniquitous ways. And we looked at a little bit of that last week when he talks about that, we looked at Romans 11:26. About turning away ungodliness from Jacob, and so all Israel shall be saved. And that's what you see here. But let's go down to verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now here, when you look at Exodus 19, the Lord says here that in verse 5 that all the earth is mine. And see, this is what he wanted them to be unto him. He wanted them to repossess the earth. He wanted it where all the earth, the people of the earth, will know and understand that this is a people of God, and that this people of God is ones that are going to get God's laws and statutes. It's going to go out from Zion, which is Jerusalem. It's going to go off from that holy city onto the world. And right here in Exodus 19, this is the law being given unto them. And he's saying that this is what he commands for them to be. Now let's go down verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now you know what? We're going to stop right here for a second, because what I hold your place here before entrance into the law, before we show this here about the entrance into the law, I want you to take a look at something else. Hold your place there in Exodus 19, verse 6. Hold your place there, and I want you to come over to Psalms 89. And again, Israel was to be a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, and they were to, and being that kingdom of priests, when that kingdom was set up, the law was going to go out to all the Gentile nations of the world, and they were going to look upon Israel as being that beloved and that favored nation, to be a wise nation, as we're going to see, and a nation whereas they would be like-minded. It would be like father, like sons. So let's look at Psalms 89. Let's look at verse 29. Psalms 89, verse 29. and his seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, and if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Now, this is what would happen if Israel did not hearken unto. And I want you to keep that in mind because, again, you're looking at here when the Lord says, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments. See, what this is doing here, this is the punishment that Israel will get for not being what God called them to be. Now come to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And let's look at verse 1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments all way. That's all the way. Verse 2. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which I have not known, and have not seen the chastisements of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles, and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh the king of Egypt, unto all his land. Now you see here, what Deuteronomy is telling you here is, Moses is going and he's bringing them back through what happened in Egypt. He's showing how great the great acts that God did unto them. And that by these great acts, they ought to want to be what he called them to be. And let's look at verse 5 here. And what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. See, what was shown here was the power of God. It was shown unto Israel. Was shown unto Israel that how great of a God he is, God Almighty, the Lord, I am Jehovah. And he wanted them to show that he's their deliverer, he's their avenger, and that their enemies would face the wrath and punishment because they walk contrary to his nation. Now look at verse 8 here. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I commanded you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it. Now you see, when we looked at Exodus 19, in verse 5, when the Lord said, all the earth is mine, and you see here he has Israel as being his strong hand, supposedly ones that are going to be strong and go into the land, possess it. But, you know, it's something when he had Israel go into the land, when he sent the spies down there, and we get a chance, we're going to take a look at that. When he sent the spies down, when Israel went into the land, they, in turn, instead of them taking it and possessing it and doing what they ought to have done, they started naming their children after the gods of those people. They went into the land and started to get comfortable in it. In all that, in the abominations of the land and things like that. They just got this scene in Deuteronomy 11, verse 6, that what the Lord did unto these other people, and he swallowed up their household, their tents, all the substance that was in their possession, which means everything that other nation stood for was swallowed up and destroyed in the sight of Israel, because that's what they should have looked upon that as being an abomination unto them also. And it's the same thing with today. Well, God's not doing that today, but God wants us to as sons and daughters in Christ, to look at what this world has for us and what this world is doing, the course that this world has charted, and we're not supposed to follow after that. We're not supposed to be overcome by the fashion of the world, like Romans chapter 7 tells us, or 1 Corinthians chapter 7 tells us, that that fashion of the world passeth away. And that's what we see in a likeness here about God the Father telling Israel here, that they should be strong in verse 8 here, Deuteronomy 11, verse 8, that ye may be strong and go in the land, go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it. Look at verse 9, that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Now, when he says here that ye may prolong your days in the land, that's saying that if Israel did not walk accordingly like they ought to have, the land would have spewed them out, if you don't want to use that word. That land is meant to be God's dwelling place, a holy land. And if Israel's not walking accordingly as a nation of priests and a holy nation, they're going to be cast out of the land. And that's what happened. The land was given rest. And later on, we're going to see if we have time to go through that in the later studies about that's one of the five courses of punishments. But I want you to keep this in the back of your mind here, that that's what should have took place. Look at verse 10. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot, as the garden of herbs. But the land, whether you go to possess it, it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And this is what you see here. You see, this is the land that God the Father gave unto them, and they're told again in verse 11, go in to possess it. And remember when we looked at the name of God and what God is called as being the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And you see here, he's telling Israel, as his children, as his people, to be possessors of the earth. Because from out of Israel, out of Zion, will come the statutes of God. It would come, that it would be that place where the word of God would come out from. And I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look at this, and then we're going to pick back up where we left off before. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I want you to see that the way the nations were supposed to behold Israel, the way they were supposed to look at Israel, they were supposed to look at Israel as being a great nation, and that blessings of the entire world will come out of Israel. And also, all nations are going to flow into it. And that's what Isaiah chapter 2 says about all nations flowing into it. But Deuteronomy chapter 4, and let's look at verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye shall do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. And there you see again, possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation, a wise and understanding people. Now, as you see here, this is the way God planned for the nations to behold Israel, as verse 5 says. Verse 6 says, if you keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear which shall hear all these statutes and say, and this is the way it's going to be, and it should have been back then, that they should have heard wise things coming out of Israel. They should have saw the understanding of Israel. And they should say, as verse 6 says, surely this is a great nation. It is a wise and understanding people. But as we see, Israel did not hearken unto all the Lord commanded unto them. They didn't hearken unto the wisdom of God. They didn't want to fall upon his Jehovah and his grace and mercy. They went into the land of Canaan and wanted to be like the Canaanites. They wanted to follow after all those strange gods and do as the world was doing. Instead of them being appointed judges, they wanted a king, and so on and so on. But let's look at verse 7. For what nation is there so great? This is what they're saying again. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we can call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? And you see what Israel's purpose was supposed to be. They were supposed to be ones that the nations were supposed to look favorably upon them, that godly influence was going to be over Israel, and all the kingdoms of the earth was going to be taught by Israel. They were going to be taught the Lord's ways. They were going to walk in his paths. Out of Zion was going to go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And that's the fulfillment of Matthew 28, when you see the Lord sending the apostles out. Matthew 28, that's what he was telling them, explaining for them to do, to go out to Israel. But now, come back to Exodus 19. Exodus 19, and we stopped at verse 6 there, because that's what we looked upon. They were supposed to be a holy nation and a kingdom of priests and a holy nation there. But look at verse 7, Exodus 19, verse 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the Lord, words of the people unto the Lord. Now, when they said this here, instead of them falling upon his Jehovah and his grace and mercy, when they said that they will do all these commandments, that they will do, they thought they were better than what they were. They thought they were better than the Gentile world. And they assumed they could do this, even though they knew they could not do the same thing, the things that we looked at with those five trials, that they needed his Jehovahness and grace, and they murmured, and they complained, and things like that. But look at verse 9. Look at the difference and the change you see here. Verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Now Moses is saying this unto the Lord, what the people said unto him. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. And the third day of the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon the Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever touch the mount shall be surely put to death. Now, you see immediately a change there. You see that the first thing God says about them going in, sanctifying themselves, them washing their clothes, and them, if they come up towards the mount, they'll be put to death. God at this point here separated himself from them because he knew that they didn't want to fall upon his Jehovah and his grace and mercy. They wanted to sanctify themselves apart from God doing this for them. So because they wanted to sanctify themselves, that's why you see here Moses saying, sanctify, the Lord saying unto Moses to sanctify them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. See, that's what the law was put there for. The law was not put there to justify anyone. The law never was intended to justify a man onto eternal life. It was never meant to save someone from the debt and penalty of their sins. The law was for a justified man or saved individual to walk by it, to live out his personal life, functional life, his everyday life by those 613 laws. He was to walk accordingly based upon those laws. And that's a sanctification issue only. And that's what it was on Israel. Remember, this is his people. He's telling Moses to go down to the people. If God never gave this law to them, they still would have been his people. They were his people before when he led them out of Egypt. They were his people while they were going through those five trials. And he said that these were his people. And the law was given to them so they can sanctify themselves by that. Well, they shouldn't have took it, but when they did take it, now they have to sanctify themselves. And that's what you see taking place there. Now they have to live their functional life, their sanctified life by that law. And when they did not hearken unto all the things the Lord commanded, now they receive the curses like we've seen in Psalms 89 there. Now, verse 12, we see the Lord says, set the bounds around the people about, saying, take heed therefore unto yourselves, and that ye go not up into the mount, and you'll be surely put to death. Now let's look at verse 13. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. Now you see here, this is the first time God was, as we're going to see, wroth with the people. He was upset with the people. Even though when they went through those murmurings, when they did not hearken unto the voice of the Lord, his wrath wasn't kindled, as you see here. Now, let's look at it. Come over to verse 23. Well, verse 22. Verse 22 here for time's sake. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. Now, this wasn't the case before. But they, in order to come to the Lord, they got to sanctify themselves, cleanse themselves. They have to, because they're set apart. They want to do this on their own. They want to sanctify themselves. Now we see the repercussions of that. Look at verse 23. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set the bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. Now, again, as you see, this is what happened with Israel, because they wanted to defy and do things on their own. But look at the next chapter here. Look at chapter 20. Let's look at verse 20. We're just going and looking at these things in a short survey or short outline survey. But if you have time, take a look at this, because this is where you see these Ten Commandments here being given onto Israel in chapter 20 here. And we're not going to read those, but let's look at verse 19. This is after the Ten Commandments were given. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Now again, these are people of God. But they're looking upon this, and they're fearing for their physical life. They're not fearing about their salvation from the death and penalty of their sins, or being justified onto eternal life. These people are physically fearing for their life. And when Moses is saying that ye sin not, he's saying that they walk according to those laws. That's why it says, for God has come to prove you. And now these Israelites understood something. They were afraid. They said, let Moses speak with us, but let not God speak to us, lest we die. And accordingly so, God was just and righteous in his dealings with them. Now let's go to let's come to Numbers. Numbers 23. We'll look at something, an issue, a Balak and Balaam issue here. Numbers 23, and let's look at verse 5. I'll give you a chance to get there. Numbers 23. Verse 5, and the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak, and return unto him. And lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and the princes of Moab. Now, you're looking here in Numbers about the issue of Balaam and Balak. You're looking at God giving, he's going to be giving a warning through Balaam. And he's going to give a warning onto Satan and the Gentiles about who his nation is, and that this is a favored nation, and that there's going to be nothing that could thwart his plan and purpose with his nation. Even though it might seem as though God is, that they are cursed or from God and things of that nature. But he's given notice to Satan through Balaam about Israel and about their rebelliousness, and he's not gonna give up on them, so to speak. Let's come to verse 7. And he stood, and he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me Jacob and defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? As you see what's taking place here, you see what Balak is saying here about cursing Jacob. That's Israel. That's the 12 tribes there. Verse 9, from the tops of the rocks I see him, from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteousness of the righteous, and let my end be like this. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. Now, you're looking at this story here, and again, if you have a chance, go to Numbers 23, and take a look at that issue. Actually, from 22 all the way to 25, you see the story of Balak and Balaam here, and about the significance that is in showing that God is not turned away from his people and that he is not given up on them. Now let's look at verse 21. Let's come down to verse 20. Numbers 23, verse 20. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed. I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. As you see here, what the Lord is doing, the Lord has Balaam bless Israel. He has Balaam bless Israel, and the Lord is with that nation, and he's not going to give up on his nation. And look at verse 24. Behold, the people shall rise up a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. Now, again, this was another one of Satan's attacks to wipe the nation out. God gave back four messages to Balak, who was the king of Moab, and also to Satan, that Israel was God's chosen people. It didn't matter how unrighteous Israel was, or God was not going to see their iniquity. He was going to see their perverseness, as that verse said there. That wasn't going to derail God's plan and purpose with them. Balaam also saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. He knew that was going to be a shadow of things to come in Israel's program. See, that's when we're looking at what Israel was supposed to be onto the other nations, onto the Gentile nations, that they were supposed to be like father-like sons and daughters of Israel. That's the way it ought to have been. But as you see here, that God made it known through these Gentiles that he that blessed Israel, he's going to be blessed. But if you curse, you're going to be cursed. But that's not the way it is today, of course. But God had Balaam describe what was going to take place in the latter days to those who would curse Israel. And God made known that the ones that would curse Israel would perish. He would smite, destroy them. And that's what took place there. Now what I want to do is I want to take a look at something that's real significant before we look at the five courses of punishment, the introduction to the five courses of punishment. Let's take a look at Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, and what this is considered the last acts of Moses. The last acts of Moses. And what we're seeing here is what God planned, what he has Moses say unto his nation, what he has him say. He's given them the presentation of the prophetic song of witness. And that's concerning Israel's rebellious history that they're going to have to go through. And we're going to see some of the things that's spelled out there. Let's take a look at what's going on there. Deuteronomy 31. And let's take a look at verse 9. Gotta get there myself. Deuteronomy 31, verse 9. Verse 9. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the children of the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord and thy God in the place which he choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Now, in looking at what he's saying here, is what they're going to read is this is going to be a song. This is going to be something that, that they're going to hear. And it spells out all the way from chapter 31 all the way through chapter 34. And if you get a chance, take a read of that. We're not going to read it all today. That would be very lengthy to read that. But let's take a look at verse 16. While you're in Deuteronomy 31, let's look at verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a whoring after gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them. So they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? Now, what does that sound like there? God had high expectations for Israel. He had high expectations for them to be not just a nation, not his own, just his own people, but to sound out to the other nations, that when the other nations saw Israel, they would know this was a great God, as we've seen. We just looked upon how Israel was supposed to have been a like father, like son of the Lord. And you see what God is saying here, that Israel is going to go a whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land. Whither they go to be among them, they will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Now, this here is, it's foreshadowing what's to come. Look over at verse 20, Deuteronomy 31, verse 20. For when I shall have brought them in the land, which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxed in fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them. This is a song. This song shall testify against them for a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of their mouths of their seed, for I know their imagination, which they go about even now before have I brought them in the land, which I swear. Now, as you see here, that this is what they're going to do. They're going to go in that land. They're going to be, there were spies that were going to go out and go into the land of Canaan, and they were going to go into that land and supposedly possess it. But instead of possessing it, they go in there and they get comfortable in the land. And that's what we can take a look at if we got time here. Let's go over to just look at the time and say, boy. Yeah, let's take a look at that. Let's come over to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. And let's take a look at the rebellion of how Israel is just balking at what God called them to be. And what we're going to do, we're just going to note a couple things here. And we're not going to get into verse by verse, because it goes from Numbers 10 all the way through chapter 21. Well, let's take a look at Numbers 10. Let's look at verse 8. We'll look at the highlights. Verse 8. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that opposeth you, then ye shall blow with an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Now, Israel should have looked upon this and trusted what the Lord said here, that if they go to war against the enemy, that's anyone that opposed them, that they blow the trumpet of alarm, sound alarm, and the Lord shall, they'll be saved from their enemies. But that's not what they did. Let's look over to verse 35. Verse 35, Numbers 11, verse 35. And it came to pass when the ark set forth that Moses said, "Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee." And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel." Chapter 10, verse 35. Now this is chapter 11 here, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Now here in Numbers 11, you see the people complaining again. See, the difference between this complaining and the complaining that was done in the five trials, Israel entered into that law contract. They said they can do these things. They said they could walk by the statutes. They could hearken unto the voice of the Lord. And you see the repercussion here. The Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the camp, the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. But when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Now, this is what we see. We see what's taking place here. We see God's wrath being kindled, and He's going to deal with them accordingly. Now, what we're going to see later on is there were spies appointed. And let's take a look at that, chapter 13, Numbers 13. And we're just going to look at the verses here, the highlights of it. Numbers 13, look at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers ye shall send a man, every one a ruler among them." And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men that were heads of the children of Israel. What he did, he took from each tribe the heads, as you see here. Those there would be spies that would go into the land of Canaan, which is Jerusalem, and they would look and see the people in the land there, and they would go and spy it out and see how they could repossess it, for a better word there. And when they went there, they found people in the land. But the people in the land were mighty people. And instead of Israel going in there, taking the land, they balked at doing that. They didn't want to go in the land. They didn't want to go in the land there because they were afraid. And the Lord just told them, then all you have to do is go in there, and I'll slay right before you. Now let's look at chapter 14 here. Look at chapter 14. Look at verse. Let's look at verse 41. Numbers 14, verse 41. And Moses said, "Wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you." But they presumed to go up unto the hill top. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Likites came down the Canaanites which dwelt at Nahil and smote them and discomforted them even unto Hormah. Now, you see what happened because Moses told them what was going to happen unto them because they did not want to hearken unto the voice of the Lord. They chose to go about it their own way. And instead of falling upon what he told him, upon his law, and trusting in what he said. And this is what we see take place here. Now, what I want to do is see if we have time here, which we might have a little time. Let's come and take a look at the five courses of punishments. What I want to do is I want to do an outline of them. That's what I want to do right now. We don't have time to actually look at them punishment by punishment, if you will. But let's take a look at the outline of the five courses of punishments, and then we'll close here. Let's take a look at those. Leviticus 26. Let's look at Leviticus 26. And what you're going to see here in Leviticus 26 is you're going to see an outline of blessings, and you're going to see an outline of the curses here. And in Leviticus 26, the whole chapter is dedicated to that. It's dedicated to the blessings that they're going to get, the law that they have to hearken onto, or the cursings that if they don't hearken unto the law, they're going to face these cursings here. And so what you see actually in a nutshell, you're going to see the first course of punishments is going to pertain to physical illness and afflictions. You're going to see enemy raids. You're going to see defeats in battle. And that's what we just noticed. You're going to see border raids by their enemies. And let's take a look at some of that. Let's look at what's going to happen. Let's look at the first course of punishment. Verse 14. But if ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all of these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies, that they hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. Now, this is the first course of punishment. And again, it gets worse. Let's look at the second course. Verse 18, if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. Now, again, this is a course. This is not a cycle. A cycle is, it's just, one goes and then the other one picks up. This here, it gets worse. You got one course, the first course, and look what it says here in verse 18. It says, and if ye will not yet for all this. In other words, okay, if the first course didn't change your mind, now this is what I'm going to do. And it said, then I will punish you seven times more. That's more on top of the first one. Notice what 19 says, I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven as iron, your earth as brass. Now, in looking at this, we're going to look at it next week, breaking the pride of their power, that's when the nations got split up. We have 12 tribes. But what happened is you had a break in the 12. You had two tribes and you had 10 tribes. You had a southern kingdom, and you had a northern kingdom. And we'll go into that later. But it says, and I will make your heaven as iron, meaning there'll be no rain. Your earth is brass. They won't be able to grow any fruit, any food. Your strength shall be spent in vain. Your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. Okay, here's the third one, verse 21. It's the third course. And if ye walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Again, the Lord is saying, even after all this, he's going to bring seven times more plagues. More plagues, so they're going to be facing the enemy raids. They're going to be facing the enemy defeats, all these things. They're going to be facing everything not being brought forth, the not raining. Now it's going to be seven times more than the other seven times. So look at verse 22. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if you will not reform by me, by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, this is the fourth course coming up, then I will also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sin. So this is another seven more times. And not just that. In the fourth course, the Lord said he's going to walk contrary unto them, meaning not just the enemies are going to walk contrary unto Israel. Now you see the Lord walking contrary to Israel. And we see that with the Nebuchadnezzar thing, when you see the God using the Gentile kings against Israel. Look at verse 25. I will bring a sword upon you, and that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye gather together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered in the hand of your enemy. And that's what happened with Israel being taken into captivity. And when ye have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in the oven, and they shall deliver your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat it and not be satisfied. And if ye walk not for all and hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, this is the fifth course here. The fifth course is, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. I will chastise you seven times for your sins. So not only is the Lord walking contrary unto him, he's going to walk contrary in fury, in wrath and fury. Verse 29, and ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries into desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. Now, did you see the things going on here? This is the five courses of punishment onto Israel. Now, when you look at the blessings, now just hold your just come to chapter come to verse. Let's look at verse 3, and we're going to close here. Look at verse 3, Leviticus 26, verse 3. And this is what happens if they do walk according to him. This is the blessings that they're going to get. Verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my covenants and do them, then I will give you rain in due season. The land shall increase, yield her increase. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time, and ye shall eat the bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 500 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. And so on and so on. This is what's going to happen to Israel had they hearkened unto the Lord. And more. And you can see a lot of that over there in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings individually, what they're going to get. But, you know, a lot of people today, they like to live by these and say they're blessed. They say that they take these blessings over in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 and say that that pertains to us, blessed going in, blessed going out. It's right here in Leviticus in Deuteronomy 28. That pertains to me. But they don't think these cursings pertain to them. They don't look upon that these cursings also, which are a few verses over, would pertain onto them. But we'll take a look at that next week. That's some things we're going to cite next week. But with that, I'm going to close, and I'm opening things up for the Q&A session. Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. And again, that's something that we see. We see that on a constant basis when we see people say things like that. And you're looking at all the things. And if you get a chance, take a look at chapter 28 of Deuteronomy and look at all the things that it says about blessed shall thou be in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of the ground, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of the sheep, and blessed shall thou be when thou comest in and going out, and all the blessings that's going to come on them and overtake them. And that's something that we see that a lot of people say today, but they don't want to take the cursing. But then they'll say, well, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Well, then why would you take the blessings there then, which are pertained in the law? We'll go to first caller, 4123, here in the queue.
Hello, Art. I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Pastor Jones?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So when you're, so God doesn't bless us today on earth, there's no blessings for his people?
Well, his people would be considered ones that trust in his son that died for him, that are justified people. And we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We see that in Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 1. The whole chapter explains the blessings that we have that are already our possession that we have because we trusted. And we have all those things that's listed there. If you get a chance, take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, and you'll see the blessings there. Romans chapter 1 talks about all those. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 on down through 39 talks about all our blessings that we have there. And actually, the whole book of Romans gives you an outline from chapter 3. All the way throughout the chapter, the whole book, it tells you about our blessings that we have.
So is God's protection considered a blessing? Do you think
protection
he protects us?
No. Your inner man has the protection. Your inner man gets the protection as far as being strengthened and being delivered from going through things. And that deliverance is found within his word. And a mature saint can come to understand how he can have that deliverance, how he can take God's word. And as Ephesians chapter 6 talks about, which can take, as a matter of fact, we'll go to Ephesians chapter 6.
No. What I was trying to say is physical protection. Like, I feel like spiritual protection is when you obey God's commandments and you receive his blessings. But I feel like he protects his children physically, because I have been through so much myself, and I've seen his protective hands, and I think that's a blessing. But you say he's not blessing us that way.
Well, you gotta remember too that a lot of things that we deal with as far as what happens to mankind today, whether it's saved or unsaved, we're going to go through the sufferings of this present time, like Romans chapter 8 talks about, 8:16 on down. It talks about the sufferings of this present time, and that Israel, not Israel, but as we ourselves are not Israel, and we're going through our inner man is going to experience this. That's why it says, though the outer man perish, that the inward man is renewed day by day. And oftentimes the things that we go through are not trials of God. They're not something that God's testing us. They're not something that if we come out of these things, that it's by his hand. It's by chance. It's by chance that we come out of these things.
So by chance would mean more for more of the universe and not God. By chance, I don't believe in chance, but I'm saying like, so, I mean, I just feel like if you're a child of God, you don't. I feel like, you know, he has to bless you in order to keep you alive to breathe his air. You know, that's a blessing.
Well, you got to remember too that the death rate is still one apiece, whereas you're going to die. And the victory that is shown at the cross and God's usage for ones that are justified are going to happen after we die, after we leave this earth. He's not keeping certain ones alive for their own purposes and their own will. And that's what a lot of people assume, that they have a will and a purpose, and then God's working his magic around that to make that come to pass.
I believe as a Christian that you don't have a will, because you move and live and have your being in God. I believe once you become reborn, you give up that will if you are really a Christian. So do you believe in miracles?
Well, sure, I believe in miracles, but as Exodus chapter 34, it shows that those are for Israel, and those miracles and signs was a covenant that God gave unto Israel for his nation, and not to be done in no other nation among nobody else. So that pertains to Israel, but today we walk by faith, not by sight. And
I got one more question. Okay, it was this guy got shot 11 times, and I had prayed for him. And God, he was in a coma. He said he died. God raised him up. He works a full-time job. He's not crazy. Nothing is broke. He's not in a wheelchair. Is that by chance, or is that a miracle, or what is that?
Well, that would be chance, because it's not that that hasn't happened before. And not to mention, if it was by the hand of God, the guy would have instantaneously been healed. He wouldn't have had to go through EMS or medicine, rehabilitation.
He didn't go through any rehabilitation. Actually, the doctors call him a miracle man, you know, and I just feel like, well, God is the one that gives life, so how could it be by chance? Chance is not a life giver. It's just a word. You know, and I feel like a creator has to be the one that gives life. Chance can't do that.
Yeah, we got to understand, but what about the ones that die by not just a bullet or just by walking out and just getting hit by a car or something like that? But if that guy had got shot when he got shot 11 times, had he had just got up and leapt up like Paul did or others did that were full of the Holy Ghost, or when God was healing people at that time, then we could maybe think about or ponder that. But God in his word tells you that your outward man is perishing. It's going to perish until the point of death. And he's not putting his hand in between us and those things. But I'm going to have to go to the next caller there. Appreciate the comment.
And thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Bye.
Okay.
5-3-3-6-6, you're in the queue.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Jones.
How are you doing, sister? How you been?
I'm doing good. Now, you were speaking on the law, and you were speaking on the judgment. Exodus 21:24 speaks on the judgment governs the social life of the people. Of Israel.
You're talking about the law there?
Right.
Yeah. The law was set for the justified people to live by it. And though that would be something that they would live today, just like today, we sin. we sin on a daily basis, but what we're supposed to do is sanctify ourselves by his word. His word is what sanctifies us. What we see put forth and how we ought to walk, when we look at these 13 epistles, how we ought to walk in his word, that's commandments of the Lord, as what Paul would say. But we know that if you don't walk accordingly like you ought to walk, that we don't see the Lord coming in and consuming us with fire or things like that. Israel went through courses of punishments. We don't go through punishments. And because we don't go through punishments, we're not going to go through those blessings either that you see that Israel went through. God didn't give us laws where if we do this, then he's going to physically do that. But that law was set up for Israel so they can walk their functional life out by those laws.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the question there. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, bye-bye.